Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh and welcome to Track FC, because that's how you say it, not Truck FC. Track FC, your concise yet comprehensive thrice a week show. It's football fast, no faff. So without any further ado, let's get started. Oh, what a very strange weekend of football that was, eh? Arsenal didn't lose to Nottingham Forest, as we suggested they might. And congratulations, by the way, to listener James Garston, who got in touch on Friday to say that a draw was a far better bet. But Arsenal didn't win either. 2 points dropped then? Well, no. Defeats for Aston Villa and Manchester City turned a frustrating evening in Nottingham into a small net positive, as the Gunners actually extended the gap at the top to 7 points. So that's good, right? Well, not according to some Arsenal fans who seem quite disappointed. Tim Stillman, though, he knows his stuff. He's at the airport right now, about to fly to Milan for the Champions League game. Tim, what's your reaction to this result?
I think my assessment of the result is it could have been better. My assessment of the weekend is it could have been worse. I think one of the things perhaps everyone is underestimating is just how difficult the Premier League is, particularly, I think, when you go away from home. At the beginning of the season, Arsenal had these fixtures like Newcastle away, Man United away, Liverpool away. And a lot of us, I think myself included, were guilty thinking, oh God, that's really, really tough. But once we get that out of the way, it all looks a bit better. But now I'm looking at it and every away game looks difficult to me. And I think what really sums that up is none of the top four in the Premier League won this weekend and none of the bottom six lost. And Arsenal are on four successive away games. They had the Carabao Cup semi-final at Chelsea on Wednesday night. You could ask, and I would ask questions maybe, about how strong Arsenal went in that semi-final. Did they need to play the same midfield three for a Carabao Cup semi-final and then a tough away game at Nottingham Forest 3 days later? Could we have used players like Eze or Marino to lighten the load a little bit? The attacking combinations up front weren't quite right in the starting lineup. You know, Martinelli, Madueke, Gyökeres, there's not a lot of stickability there in terms of getting the ball under control. I also think Forest is a really, really difficult place to go. If you look at their best performances this season, they ran Man City very, very close at home. They thrashed Spurs at home. Really, I think when you look at the game, Arsenal probably should have ground out a 1-0 with the chances they had. But nevertheless, I mean, Arsenal have gained a point at the top this weekend.
And you can find more from Tim on the Arsenal Vision podcast. Now, City, for their part, were... And this is weird, because even though I watched the game and wrote this script, I'm still not sure I believe what's in front of me. City were blown away by a brilliant Manchester United. Gosh. But it's true. Michael Carrick recalled Harry Maguire. He dropped Benjamin Sesko. He stuck with a 4-3-3. All big calls. And he was rewarded with a performance that felt like... It felt like watching Manchester United back in the Ferguson era, and I really haven't said that much over the last decade or so. So how much was down to them, and how much was down to City and their threadbare defence? Well, it seems sort of churlish to ask. Let them enjoy the moment. Let's watch them again next week and see how they do. And who have United got next week? Oh, it's Arsenal. Okay. Aston Villa were beaten by Everton at home on Sunday. That's two games without a win or a goal for Unai Emery's team now, and there's no let-up for them. They have to go to Istanbul for their Europa League clash with Fenerbahce, then all the way back to Newcastle for the weekend. I fear the schedule's going to take its toll on them now. You can make a similar case for Liverpool, but I don't think anyone is. They failed to beat Burnley at Anfield on Saturday. It's their fourth league draw in a row, and while they remain unbeaten since late November, it's not a great look, and it's not gone down well with some of their supporters. This was one view broadcast by the Anfield Wrap on Saturday evening.
A team of cats at home, and he would set up not to get beat. And it's gone too far for me. That was a disgrace.
But nobody, I humbly argue, is as angry as Tottenham supporters right now. Yes, that's the sound of a fan base that has just about had enough. It's the noise that greeted the full-time whistle on Saturday after they were beaten at home by West Ham, which, for a Spurs fan, is as bleak as it gets. They have won just two league games since the start of November. They've slipped right down the table, and perhaps most damaging, they're really quite boring to watch. Now, we waited as long as we could to avoid another Amorim rewrite situation, but the word is that Frank will remain in place for the game against Borussia Dortmund this week. But the BBC say talks are taking place in the boardroom as to whether or not to swing the axe. I would imagine a lot depends on Xabi Alonso and how long a holiday he's booked. Of course, if Xabi says no, there's a chance that Oliver Glasner will say yes. We discovered on Friday that he has no intention of signing a new contract at Crystal Palace, and we discovered on Saturday evening that he clearly isn't fussed about completing his existing one. His ferocious attack on the Palace board after defeat to Sunderland was straight out of the Maresca Amorim playbook. Have a listen.
I feel that we are being abandoned completely, and because I can't blame any player. They did everything they could, and this is for weeks and months now, and we have 12, 13 players from the squad available, feel no support. And then the worst thing is we're selling our captain one day before a Premier League game. We're preparing, it's the first week we are training since September, and then we're selling our captain one day before a game. So I have no understanding for this, and I always kept my mouth, but I can't because I have to defend these players. Yeah.
However, Crystal Palace chairman Steve Parish is reported to have chosen not to sack Glasner, imposing the far worse punishment of making him carry on with his job instead. Elsewhere, Leeds took a big step towards survival. A last-minute goal for Lucas Nemecha was the difference against Fulham, who had been on a great run. And Chelsea beat Brentford 2-0, a result that didn't really reflect the pattern of play. The Bees wasted a host of chances. Chelsea were very flat. But it's a positive result for man-ager Liam Rosinia. And finally, Wolves picked up another point courtesy of one of the most boring games I've seen in some time, the goalless draw with Newcastle. What does that all mean? It means Arsenal are top with 50 points. There are 16 matches left to go. They're 7 clear of Man City, 7 clear of Aston Villa, and 14 clear of Liverpool. I do think perhaps Liverpool are out of the title race now. Liverpool in 4th with 36 points, and Man United with 35, Chelsea with 34, and Brentford, who've just been brilliant, 33 points. At the bottom of the table, Wolves are up to 8 points now, just 6 behind Burnley, who have 14. They, in turn, are 3 behind West Ham, and West Ham have closed the gap on Nottingham Forest to 5 points. Our friends at FitStairs seem to think that Villa's defeat has ended any talk of a three-way title race. They have Arsenal at 2-11 on, so that's better quid win 18p. They have Manchester City at 9-2 and Villa all the way out at 40-1 now. The top four odds are interesting. Liverpool are 4-7 on to make it. Chelsea 11-5. Manchester United have come all the way into 5-2 and Newcastle are 7-1. If you like those odds, you'd like to see other odds and you're over 18, check out fitstairs.com, but please do gamble responsibly. Strange scenes in Spain, where Barcelona managed to lose to Real Sociedad, while new Real Madrid not manager Alvaro Arbeloa picked up his first win at home to Levante. His players took their own sweet time, though. They needed a Kylian Mbappe penalty in the 58th minute to break the deadlock. They did run out 2-0 winners. It wasn't a happy occasion, though. There were protests and white hankies and jeering for players, including Jude Bellingham and Vinicius Jr. And, of course, club president Florentino Perez. I know the source of these chants, said Arbeloa afterwards. They came from people who don't like Real Madrid. Well, given that tickets to the Bernabeu start at €90, you have to say that's a bold theory. It means Barcelona's lead has been cut to a single point, and Villarreal, who were beaten 2-0 by Betis, are now 7 points back from Real Madrid. In the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich were 1-0 down at half-time away at RB Leipzig. Light at the end of the tunnel for Germany's increasingly distant chasing pack? No, just an oncoming train driven by Michael Olise, who scored one and assisted three in a 5-1 victory. We may have suggested on Friday that a Dortmund victory at home to São Paulo was a foregone conclusion. They actually needed a 95th-minute Emre Can penalty to secure a 3-2 win and thus stay in second. Inter remain at the top of Serie A. They beat Udinese away 1-0. Lautaro Martinez with his 11th of the season. He's the division's top scorer. AC Milan a second. They beat Lecce 1-0 on Sunday night with a winning goal coming from one Nicholas Fulkrug, latterly of West Ham. Napoli a third. They beat Sassuolo 1-0. Juventus are fourth. They lost away at Cagliari. That was their first defeat since December the 7th. And Lens are still top of Ligue 1. They beat Auxerre 1-0, reclaiming their place at the summit after Paris Saint-Germain beat Lille 3-0 on Friday. It was Scottish Cup in Scotland. Rangers beat Annan Athletic 5-0. Celtic beat Auchinleck Talbot from the 6th tier 2-0. And league leaders Hearts were knocked out on penalties by Falkirk, which might ordinarily be seen as a bad thing, but I reckon Hearts will be all right about it this season. And finally, in the Championship, a last-minute Delano Bergzorg winner secured a crucial win for Middlesbrough away at West Brom on Friday, thoroughly ruining new manager Eric Ramsey's evening. Coventry had a bit of a shock. They were losing 1-0 to Leicester, but they came back to win 2-1, so they stay 6 points clear at the top. Ipswich are third. They beat Blackburn 3-0, and we completely hexed Watford. They lost at home to Millwall, who are fourth. Some other bits of news. The fallout from AFCON continues. If you didn't see the final because perhaps you'd switched over to see if the New England Patriots really were any good again, boy, did we miss out. Senegal had what looked like a decent goal ruled out right at the end of the game, and then hosts Morocco were awarded an extremely soft penalty, so Senegal stormed off, all aside from Sadio Mane. When they eventually came back out, Brahim Diaz took his spot kick and... Well, here it is.
Oh, I said, no. Mathieu Cissé.
Yep, that's the sound of Brahim Diaz attempting a Panenka and just basically passing the ball into the arms of Senegal's goalkeeper Edouard Mendy. Imagine being laughed at by the commentator. What an indignity. Anyway, the game went to extra time. Senegal won it. Morocco journalist kicked off in the press conference, forcing the Senegal manager Pape Thiaw to walk out. It was all very messy and all very embarrassing, not least because it happened in the presence of Gianni Infantino, so I don't think anyone from Morocco will be winning the FIFA Peace Prize next year. Or maybe this actually improves their chances. I don't really understand how it works. What have we got coming up this week? Well, there's Brighton-Bournemouth on Sky at 8. Brighton having a very odd season. They're 6 points off a Champions League place and 6 points off a relegation battle. Bournemouth, of course, called in a house visit from Dr. Tottenham 2 weeks ago and won their first game since October, but they're still not quite clear of trouble. I think everyone's got a bit more nervous after that West Ham win, so this should be a fun game. If you prefer your football foreign, there's Elche Sevilla on Premier Sports, Lazio Como on DAZN, and if you rush home from work, you'll make Cremonese Verona at 5:30, also on DAZN. European football returns on Tuesday. I'm going to do you and me a favour and not read out all the games. I'll just direct you to FotMob, which is a great little app, or Live Football on TV, which is my online telly bible. If I was watching the Champions League, I would start with Bodo/Glimt versus Manchester City at 5:45 on TNT, then Serie A leaders Inter against Premier League leaders Arsenal. If I was planning to make a long speech about how the bloated Champions League is a Jeopardy free zone, zone that pleases only the club accountants. I'll follow it up by saying that I'll be watching Coventry versus Millwall on Sky, but I'm not doing any of that because I will be going to Roots Hall to watch Southend against Eastleigh. That was Track FC. It was Football Fast, No Faff, and it's here thrice a week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your producer was Helena Fremantle. We'll be back on Wednesday, and we'll see you then.